Hi, I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Welcome to the Least of These podcast. We reach out to those the world has forgotten. If you'd like to know more about us and how you can donate to help us fulfill our mission, go to hisloveministries.net. Thank you very much, and God bless you.
Today, we're going to look at James 4, starting in verse 13. I'm hoping we're going to just go ahead and finish James. Probably got about two or three more lessons. You know, at the most, I want to try to finish James, and since we've gotten almost through it, I know it took a good while to go through Romans, and some of y'all might have been here, but it took a year to go through five chapters of Romans. So anyway, it's been just about a year I've been doing James. So we're going to look at verses 13 through 17, and then we might try to get into chapter 5 too. So let's look at this here in James. Says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it's sin. You know, James is talking about here that something very relevant to every single one of us is called making plans. If we're really disciplined in life and doing what we're supposed to do, then we're going to make some plans. We're going to set some goals for when we're here and when we're in different places. We're going to try to set those goals. But you know, there's two ways to make plans, to set goals. Making those plans or those goals often a key to success in life. If you set a goal, I recently set a goal of completing my Bible study extension courses by June. Didn't quite make June. It was pretty aggressive time frame, but I sent my last course off last Thursday, and hopefully in the next couple of weeks I'll be hearing that I've passed, and hopefully I'll have a bachelor's degree in theology. So, you know, I've done it through extension courses, and the Lord's allowed me to do that since I've been out of work. So, you know, see, the devil could have used this discouragement in my time while I was off, and a lot of people did. A lot of people said things to me that were pretty discouraging. And people I was very surprised have said things to me, and they thought they knew what God's will for my life was. And they told me this and that and the other. And, you know, if I'd have based my plans on what they did or just my thoughts, you know, I could have been in trouble. But, you know, I've been off work almost 9 months, and hopefully I'll be starting to work either the 25th of June or the beginning of July to be part-time until August. I still haven't received my letter, my official letter saying, asking me to accept the job, but hopefully it's been almost 9 months. Now you see, all this time I could have been discouraged, I could have been making all kinds of plans, could have been doing all kinds of things, but the question is whose goals were they? Whose plans were they? See, there's a right way to make plans, a right way to make goals, and a wrong way. The right way is to consult God. Amen. We can submit to God's will. That's the first thing we want to see here. You know, he says here, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, make a profit. So they've already decided they were going to go today or tomorrow. So they might, today we might do it, tomorrow we might do it. Well, first of all, if God tells you to go do something, you go do it now. You don't wait till tomorrow. If he tells you to do it today, you go do it today. That's procrastination. And sometimes that one day or a week or whatever it is that you put it aside messes up what God wanted to do. He might have wanted you to go tomorrow and do something, and you waited till next week, and then it, something didn't happen. But God works all things together for good in your life. So those plans, you make those plans, you pray, and you know, God might not always give you a verse or a scripture, but he can give you a sense in yourself, a peace, when you pray about it, and you might just hear that, you know, feel like, oh, well, I need to go do this tomorrow. And you kind of plan that agenda. And you'll have a peace about that. And God will give you that peace. And if you want to go try to do something, you're all stressed out about it, don't feel good about it, just don't feel like you should be doing it, you probably don't need to be doing it, because it's probably not God's will for your life. Because God says he'll give you a peace. Like I said, there's not always a scripture in the Bible that tells you that, you know, I'm going to go do this tomorrow, that I need to sell my house. I don't know there's a scripture in it, so go down and sell your house. You know, you can find a scripture. Somebody said there was a verse in there and talked about, and they said Judas went and hanged himself. And then they flipped their Bible to the next page, and they flipped it one more time, and it says, now go and do thou likewise, or something like that. So, I mean, you know, you can get out of whack if you just flip through your Bible and stuff, but you got to be careful. You got to pray about it, read your word, and the Lord will tell you what to do. And when he tells you what to do, you'll have a peace about it, a sense of peace, and you'll know what to do. And even though other people will try to distract you, or the devil will try to distract you, you just go on and try to do what you think's right, because God will tell you, and you'll have that sense. I mean, a lot of people have said a lot of things to me. Well, you need to go try here to get a job. You need to go do this. You need to go do that. But I made my plans based on what I felt like God wanted me to do. 3 or 4 years ago, somebody told me, well, I had to go get a Bible degree. Well, I felt real guilty about that for a while. I wasn't as mature in the Lord as I am now. I tried doing that for a little while, and I was going to get a diploma. And I just felt real guilty about it, because a couple of people said, well, you've got to go do this. But they didn't know God's will for my life. Sometimes people know and can give you a word from the Lord, and you'll know when it's a word from the Lord. But if you're in turmoil and tore all up about it and stuff, you got to wonder. You got to pray for that peace. One morning I was riding to work, and all of a sudden out of the blue I just heard this little voice, you know. It wasn't a real voice, but a little still small voice in my head. And the guy was preaching about, you know, being too busy, too busy, too busy. And I was doing some ministry, and I was working full time, and I had a family. And I said, and the guy was talking about people just cramming stuff in their life and being too busy and not having time for the Lord, for the family, and the things they need to do. Sometimes you just need to sit down and be quiet and be still. And so I was riding, and I wasn't even thinking about anything. It was about 6:20 in the morning. And I was riding to work, coming off of Bay Street down there up on the Lions Parkway. And all of a sudden, I just felt like I heard that voice in my head say, okay, Marty, how you going to cram one more thing in your life? This Bible degree, go getting studying and trying to do this. At that point, I decided, okay, based on this, I'm going to make my plans to continue doing what I'm doing now until God tells me otherwise. I feel like God a while back told me, after I was laid off, to get my Bible degree. So now, hopefully in a couple of weeks, they'll be letting me know that I'll pass these last 2 or 3 courses, and I'll get those grades back that I've sent off, and they'll award me a degree. So based on that, I've made plans. So you can do that. And, you know, there used to be an old saying, and people kind of saying jokingly now, that I'll be there next week if the good Lord's willing and the creeks don't rise. I don't know how many of y'all heard that, but the old folks used to say it out in the country, and I got some country folk live up around Twin City and Jessup, and they say stuff like that. It's a good saying because it's biblical. We got to make our plans, and we got to believe that God's leading us that direction, but then if God all of a sudden tells us to do something different, sometimes at the last minute he'll change those plans and tell you to go do something else. You know, occasionally I come in here with a message prepared or somewhere, and the Lord will tell me to do something different. I've had that happen a couple of times. It doesn't happen that often, but occasionally the Lord will just say, nope, I know you spent a week on that, or 2 or 3 days, or whatever it is, but today I want you to teach on this. And so you just go in there and teach something different, because that's what God said to do. But we got to make our plans conditional to the Lord. Paul said in Acts 18:21, but he took leave of them, saying, I must by all means keep this coming feast in Jerusalem, but I will return to you again, God willing. And he sailed from Ephesus. And in 1 Corinthians 16:7, Paul again says, for I do not wish to see you now on the way, but I hope to stay a while with you if the Lord permits. So if we say the Lord, we don't have to say if the Lord wills and everything. But, you know, we need to remember that as we're telling somebody that. And if we're not sure, we might want to say, well, if the Lord's willing, I'll be there. You know, and it might be a good witnessing tool, too, if you put that in your speech, you know, and somebody says, well, why you say that? I say, well, I've given my life to Christ, and He directs my plans. He directs my path. You know, he says, acknowledge him and he'll direct your path. We need to acknowledge him. If we say the Lord wills, it assumes our faith in two ways. First of all, that God does have a will for us. Do you believe God's got a will for you today? He does. He has a will for every single one of you in here today. I don't know what it is. That's between you and God. But you know, God has a will for you. And he, first of all, he wants you to be saved. And second of all, he wants you to do some things for him. He has a ministry for every single one of you if you've given your life to Christ. He has a place for you right here, right now, today. To somebody, a ministry, a place in his ministry to do something for somebody. Maybe it's just a kind word, maybe just a prayer, I don't know. But then, second of all, we need to realize that God can interfere in our plans anytime he wants to. We can be doing something that we're enjoying, and then all of a sudden, you know, God may come in and just out of the blue, you might feel like all of a sudden you need to witness to somebody. I've done that a couple of times. Been upstairs, took a shower, and one time I wrote a letter to a man that the Lord told me to write. Another time I went next door and witnessed to a guy. I don't know what the deal was with the guy. The lights were off. I might have woke him up. He never turned the porch light on. For all I know, he might have been getting ready to kill himself. I don't know what was going on. Still don't. Maybe one day when I get in heaven, I'll know. But you know, all I know is God said, Marty, you go next door and tell that guy that I sent you over here. I went over there and I said, listen, I don't know why I'm here. The Lord told me. And I was getting ready to watch TV and watch this show I like. And all of a sudden, I just had this overwhelming sense that I had to go talk to you. And I don't know why I'm here, but to tell you that Jesus Christ died for me and he died for you and he loves you. And I don't know what's going on in your life, but I'm over here to tell you that Jesus loves you. And I prayed with him and talked with him a little bit. So we got to realize that, you know, that God can jump in anytime he wants to. He created you and me. And he owns us. And if we've given our life to him, it says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if you confess Jesus Christ as Lord, you confess him as Lord, that means he's the boss of your life. Never said following Christ was easy. But you know, you give your life over to him, and he becomes the boss of your life. And he never tells you to do anything that's going to hurt you. And he never tells you not to do anything because he's some mean God and he wants to take things away from you. But it's because he loves you. Just like your daddy would spank you if he caught you doing something wrong. God's the same way. He's going to spank you if you do something wrong. He's going to chastise you. And he's going to try to keep you on the straight and narrow. And he's not going to let you touch that match because he knows it's going to burn you. He's not going to let you do something else because he knows it's going to hurt you. So if we want our plans to succeed, first of all, we got to know God's will for it and plan accordingly, according to his will. Remember that he can jump in anytime he wants to. We need to understand his will. It says in Ephesians 5:17, therefore be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And then we need to remember in Colossians 1:9, for this reason also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And that's something I try to pray every morning as I'm praying. I pray through the Lord's Prayer. And when I get to the, I say it near the end, I say, you know, Lord, I want you to fill me with your wisdom, your knowledge, your understanding, and your discernment. And I want to know what God's will is for my life. On my own, I can't make good decisions. On my own, I can make a lot of mistakes. But until I submit my will to God and say, God, give me your wisdom. That's what Solomon did, didn't he? He asked, said, I want wisdom. And God said, because you've only asked for wisdom and not for the heads of your enemies or for riches, I'm going to give you riches and that. And I don't mean God's going to do that for all of us, but if we ask for wisdom, he'll give us the wisdom to make the right decisions, do the right things as we go through our life. And then he says also we need to prove his will. He says in Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of the Lord. You know, he's also got a permissive will too. Sometimes he'll let you do something, but you know what? He's going to let you do it, and then you're going to find out that you did it on your own. You know, he doesn't try to control us like robots. And if you decide you don't want to listen to him and you want to go your way, he'll permit you to mess up. He'll permit you to get in trouble if that's what it takes to bring you back and straighten you back out. But you know, we need to remember to put him first, keep our eyes on him, and try to seek his will in everything we do. We need to submit to him, but you know, we can ignore his will. And because I was saying a minute ago that life's so complex in verse 13, you know, they're saying they were going to do all these things. They were going to be gone for a year. They were going to go to such and such and buy and sell and make a profit. How do I know that I'm going to do that? Life's so uncertain, isn't it? You know, I'm not even guaranteed the rest of the day. I'm not guaranteed tomorrow. I might not live till tomorrow. I don't know. Life is so complex. There's so many little factors in life that unless I've got God guiding me, I may not make the right decision. There's so many decisions to make and so many mistakes to be made if we don't let God lead us. That's why he needs to be first. And life's uncertain. Like I said, nobody's got a guarantee of tomorrow. It says here, what does it say in verse 14? Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. You know, life disappears pretty quickly. It goes and it's gone, like that fog in the morning. And then life also fragile. You know, we can get sick real quick. We can get hurt real quick. Our whole world can be turned upside down in 2 seconds. Car coming across the road, something falls on us. I don't know. Maybe we have a heart attack. I don't know. So we always got to depend on God, put God first in our life, and then we know if something bad happens to us, that God's in control and he's got hold to us, and no matter what happens, it's going to be okay. Because first of all, you know, Paul said, you know, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. So no matter what happens to me, in reality, if I get hit by a car tomorrow and I go to be with Christ, I'm way better off than I am down here. I'm here until God's through with me. I heard one man say that, how did that thing go? It said, a man in the center of God's will is immortal or invincible until God's through with him. So in other words, you know, Paul said, I finished the race. I've run the race. I finished the prize. And then Jesus, you know, when he died on the cross, he said, it's finished. He'd done everything that God had sent him to do here on this life. And then when you've completed everything that God has for you to do, then you go on home to be with Jesus. But you know, let's see what you decide you want to live your way and go off and do some things. He might decide to bring you on home. They said there's a sin unto death. You might get out of God's will if you trust Christ, and he might just bring you on home because you're messing up down here. So, you know, if we get out of his will, make him look bad, he just might bring us on home. Old Job says, now my days are swifter than a runner. They flee away. They see no good. They pass by like swift ships, like an eagle swooping on its prey. You know, the older I get, the more it seems like time goes faster and faster. Have y'all noticed that? It seems like the older you get, it seems like time goes faster and faster and faster. And I wondered, you know, some of the people that are 80, 90 years old, I mean, seem like maybe they blink their eyes and it's the next day. I don't know, as fast as some days seem to go by now. Of course, some of them crawl, but most of the time it just seems like they fly by, and it's just next thing you know, it's next summer, it's next year, it's winter again, it's summer again, and you go, wow, the summer's gone. It just turned summer, it seemed like yesterday. Before you know it, it'll be over. So life is so short that we need to try to put God's will first and not our own. He says in 1 John 2:17, and the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. You know, God says that if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. That's right. If you really, truly love God and you really, truly have trusted Jesus Christ, you're going to keep his commandments. because you love him and you don't want to hurt him. And you want to do what's good for him and what's good for you. And he says, verse 15, he says, instead you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or do that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So we can do it our way. You hear what he says? He said, boasting is evil. Boasting is evil. A lot of people wouldn't have thought that, would they? A lot of people boast every day. I can run faster than you. I can jump higher. All these things. But boasting, that kind of boasting is evil, that I'm going to do all these things and I'm not taking God into account in my life. I'm going to go do this. Marty's going to go do this. Not, I'm going to do this if the Lord wills, if God allows me to do it. But this is what I'd like to do, Lord, if that's okay with you. So we need to remember that when we make those plans. So we need to take into consider ourselves not better than God, not higher than God. Because that's what we do when we say that we're going to go do this, 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 and this. Like he says, he's going to go buy and sell, go in the city, spend a year there, and make such a profit. How does he know? He's just set himself up as God, put himself in the place of God. That's pretty arrogant. That's a pretty bad sin to say I'm better than God because I'm going to make my plans, I'm going to do my things my way. And that's why man won't come to God. It's because man wants to do things his way. Man doesn't want to turn his life over to God because he's afraid God is going to stop him from doing some of those things that he thinks are fun. And that's why we don't want to turn our lives over, because we're afraid to give up that control. We're afraid God's going to take something away from us. Maybe he's going to take drinking away from us, or maybe he's going to take something else away from us that we like to do. But you know, he always gives us something better. And we always have something better than those things. Those things in the long run end up hurting you. You end up in a problem or a trouble somewhere along the line doing those things. So God wants to take those things away because he wants better things for you. Just like your daddy would take a cigarette away from you and tell you don't do that because he knows one day it's going to kill you. It's going to give you cancer. God's going to say, I don't want you to do that because I got better for you. I love you too much to let you do those things and hurt yourself. So don't do it. Please don't do it because I love you. So we don't want to plan that way because it's sin. It's boasting is sinful. And being that way, planning that way is sin. So we ought to know better if we're a Christian. We ought to know better to do that if we're Christians. He says in verse 17, therefore to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. If you know to do right and you don't do it, that's a sin of omission. I mean, I can commit something, do something against somebody, hurt them or do something. That's a commission. I commit a crime or I commit something. I do something. I do something. But if I know that somebody needs help and I don't do it, that's an omission. That's just as big a sin is doing something against somebody. Sometimes it's worse. He says, he that knows to do good and doesn't do it, it's sin. So I want to ask you today, do you plan with God's will in mind? How do you make your plans? Do you just go make them and then say, God, here they are. Stamp them for me, please. Approved. No. We say, God, what do you want me to do? And then he tells you, and then you write them down, and then he says, okay. And then he stamps them approved. So we don't do it that way. So we need to remember God's will. You know, he said it's his will that we go into Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth, and give the gospel to those that need it. That's the first thing that's his will. There's a lot of places where the Bible says God commands you to do this. His will is that. And if we know those things, we got a lot of it licked. That's his revealed will. Now, if we can study the Word, then the rest of it comes a lot easier as we get closer to him and we pray. If we submit to God's will, he's going to take care of our needs. He's going to treat us right. He's not going to hurt us. He's not a mean God. He's a loving God. The Bible says God is love. Says God is love, but that doesn't mean he isn't also just and that he won't punish you if you don't trust him as Lord and Savior. or that he won't punish you if you do wrong, if you belong to him, just like your daddy put you over your knee and wear you out when you was a kid when you did wrong. God may do that too if you do wrong.
Hi, I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Please help us reach out to those the world has forgotten. Everyone we minister to is locked up in some way, shape, or form. Some are locked up in bodies that don't work and in the nursing home facility, in the wheelchair, the bed they cannot get out of. We minister to children and youth who are locked up because of behavioral problems or their parents. They aren't doing right and their cries, "We want to have a real family." Other kids are locked up because they've committed crimes. We also minister to those locked up in the jail and the prison, to those locked up in addictions, to drugs, alcohol, depression, and suicidal thoughts, and a variety of other things that keep them from becoming who Jesus wants them to be. He came to give us life and to set us free, and these folks are not free, but we can set them free through Christ Jesus, at least in their minds and their spirits. We minister in the local area of Savannah, Georgia, and surrounding Effingham and Chatham. We do about 2,000 services every year. We hope and pray that you'll support us in some way so we can continue our mission. Go to hisloveministries.net and click on the Donate Now button. And we hope and pray that you will do that. Thank you, and God bless you.